Eric Holder's comments on Americans being cowards about race upset the nation. It mocked what our country has accomplished and how far we have come as a nation. Eric Holder's comments seem to hit on a theme for this administration that we have been hearing from many associated with Obama. Race, race, race. Joining us now is Selwyn Duke to talk about race, race, race on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Great to be with you again. Michael, everyone's been talking about Attorney General Eric Holder's stupid comment about Americans being racial cowards. But it occurs to me that the one he ought to lecture is his boss, Barack Obama. After all, Obama seems to have no problem with bigotry. As an example, you might remember the presidential inauguration benediction, during which Obama allowed Reverend Joseph Lowery to say the following outdated prayer. Quote, "Help us work for that day when black will not be asked to get back, when brown can stick around, when yellow will be mellow, when the red man can get ahead, man, and when white will embrace what is right." Yes, when white will embrace what is right. Now, this is an example of anti-white prejudice, or caucophobia. And whites have been demonized for a long time now. For example, it's not correct to say that history textbooks, documentaries, and entertainment inundate us with stories about slavery and civil rights abuses. No, they inundate us with stories about whites' practice of slavery and abuse of civil rights. There are movies such as Roots and Mississippi Burning, but none of note about the Aztecs or Shaka Zulu's domination of neighboring peoples, or the current African slave trade, or Zimbabwean strongman Robert Mugabe's persecution of whites. Then, relating the American history guidelines of a prominent textbook publisher, author Diane Ravitch writes, quote, "European Americans, the guidelines suggest, were uniquely responsible for bigotry and exploitation in all human history," unquote.
That's just nonsense.
Yeah, Michael, it is nonsense, but unfortunately, it permeates school textbooks. While featured prominently are the sins of whites, other sins are, well, whitewashed. For instance, due to interest group pressure, such as that applied by Muslim activists, examples of slavery practiced by non-whites are sanitized. This, despite the fact that Muslim North Africans did at one time capture young white and black boys, castrate them, and sell them into slavery. And this bias is a continuation of decades of anti-white propaganda of the kind embodied in Susan Sontag's famous 1967 line, quote, "The white race is the cancer of human history," unquote. It's an idea that's taken hold. Now, since Holder wants us to be bolder, and since we have the president's preacher talking about the black, brown, yellow, red, and white, I'll bravely mount a defense of the white race. And I expect the Attorney General to congratulate me.
I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
Yeah, I know, Michael. I could change from white to blue holding my breath waiting. Now, obviously, this defense must start with slavery, an issue that's now an obsession with much of black America. For example, I once attended a gathering where there was a certain guest, a rather outgoing black fellow who was very good at relating every topic, from the meaningful to the mundane, to America's slavery. It was as if he could channel Kunta Kinte in every conversation. Yet, the reality of slavery is that, along with prostitution, it's one of the world's oldest institutions. It's mentioned in the Bible and Quran, and every major civilization has practiced it. And, if we're to believe history and Afrocentrists, and I suppose you can't believe both, the ancient Egyptians were black and enslaved Jews. Moreover, the Islamic slave trade enslaved at least as many Africans as did the Europeans, and African tribes themselves had slaves and sold them to both civilizations. Additionally, while Americans think of a black person when hearing the word slave, the term itself is derived from the word Slav. This is because so many Slavs were sold into slavery by conquering peoples. But talking about the history of bondage, note something else. It's this startling fact. While whites weren't the first ones to practice slavery, they were the first ones to abolish it. And let's be clear about this. Slavery was accepted. It was the status quo. It was an institution whose origin was shrouded in the mists of time. It was unquestioned. That is, until Europeans said no more. It was not Africans who effected this bold and unprecedented social change. It was not South Americans. It was not Asians. It was not American Indians. It was not Aborigines. It was Europeans, that cancer of human history, and they were just as white then as they are today. And they gave the world change you can really believe in. Of course, people will say this historical triumph has nothing to do with race, but that's a discussion for a different day. For now, know that if whites can be demonized without explanation for being one of many groups to enslave Africans, they can be credited without explanation for being the first group to outlaw the enslavement of anyone. Now, one of the reasons we fixate on yesterday's slavery concerns the effects many believe it has today. This is called the legacy of slavery, which actually seems not nearly as big a problem as the legacy of obsessing on legacies. But be that as it may, what is the real legacy of slavery? Well, let's think about it. Many lament blacks' economic state in America, claiming it's part of slavery's legacy. But where would blacks be were it not for slavery? The answer is Africa, where people's economic state is far, far worse than that of American blacks. In other words, there's no reason to agonize over an event, even an evil one, responsible for your presence in a country that offers its citizens unprecedented rights and standard of living. The point is, most people who arrived on American shores were driven here by some kind of persecution. But whatever the reason, thank God we're in the land of opportunity and not languishing in a slum in Asia, South America, Africa, or Eastern Europe. So, it's ironic, but that some blacks were brought here in chains yesterday ensured that their descendants wouldn't have to wear chains today. And now we come to prejudice, another supposedly characteristic white fault. Yet the truth is just the opposite. In reality, racial prejudice is probably found least among whites due to political correctness. Think about it. Most white children are raised today with the idea that it's profoundly immoral to be prejudiced. And remember, it was mainly white people who originated, promoted, and funded sensitivity training classes, tolerance programs, and multiculturalism.
Well, it's these programs that promote racism.
Yeah, I know, Michael, actually. Come to think of it, I may start hating white people myself. Now, while I consider these abominations to be worse than what they ostensibly remedy, this brings us to a relevant question. Can you think of another group that has gone to the point of self-flagellation to purge prejudice from its ranks? Huh? Heck, with how we're beating each other up over this, no one really has to worry at all about whites. We're all black and blue. And then there's the matter of white achievement. Most of what makes the lives of all races better today, modern science and medicine, our luxuries, Western art, literature, legal institutions, etc., is the handiwork of whites. Oh, this is simply a matter of circumstance, of opportunity, of a twist of fate, you say? Perhaps. Again, this isn't the time to discuss the ways and whys. Suffice it to say for now that if whites can be ridiculed for their transgressions, they can be recognized for their triumphs. Yet, despite all this, caucophobia is encouraged, and the hypocrisy is stark. The left warns against making even valid generalizations or entertaining intellectual discussions about group differences. Even positive stereotyping is off limits. We can't say blacks are better athletes, even though the sports arena may bear witness to this. We can't say Asians are more intelligent, even though they have the highest average IQ of any major racial group. We can't say Latinos are good dancers. But when it's whites, even baseless negative stereotypes are okay. A Reverend Lowry can imply that whites are uniquely immoral. They can be portrayed as the bane of man, as the cancer of human history. And it's ho-hum. And such demonization is far from harmless. History teaches that consistently scapegoated and dehumanized groups almost invariably end up suffering persecution. And given that current demographic trends indicate whites will become a minority in America during the lifetimes of most of the people hearing this, and given that even majorities sometimes are tyrannized, as the Spartans' enslavement of the Helots proved, it's foolish to dismiss the peril posed by mainstreaming caucophobia. Yet, sadly, that's exactly what's happening.
Thanks, Selwyn Duke. History needs to be impartial, not promotional. It isn't something that should be changed to push an agenda.
Michael, thank you for having me on the show again, and God bless you and your audience.